Democracy Concepts presents the first of a two-part audio of Defensive Mode, the final part of an eight-part series that discusses fundamental changes to Ghana's democracy. The music is by Kwamina Ray Ellis. The question is, would the changes you propose bring any significant improvements to the national economy and the people of this country? I don't think we must have change for the sake of change. You see what I mean, Grandpa? Clearly, and I think it's a great question. Of course, if these changes will not make any difference, there will be no need to bother about change. The benefits these changes will bring to this nation will be hugely significant. I am sure of that. In which ways, Grandpa? You have talked about the separation of the positions of president and head of state and of vesting the state council with the head of state role. We have also talked about insulating parliament completely from the influence of political parties and the executive arm of government. Then we have said politicians should not be allowed to control the economy and that the state should take center stage in the nation's development. Which of this is your question about? Everything, Grandpa. Will all these changes make any difference to the national economy? Okay, let me begin with the separation of the positions of president and head of state. When the president of the republic is no longer head of state, political power will be disengaged from the power of the state. Political power will be placed where it truly belongs. Where it truly belongs? How do you mean, Grandpa? I don't understand. Political power will be placed on the same level as the power of the judiciary, or the police, or parliament, or any other state institution that exercises the power of the state. Grandpa, does it mean that the president will not have authority over the police, for example? How should I answer you? Let's see. The president and the head of the police service will both work in the spirit of cooperation in the interest of the nation. However, the president should not have the power to interfere politically in the work of the police. That would mean that the police boss can disobey the president. Disobey is not the right word. It is not about obeying and disobeying. It is about the rule of law. The police will do its work in accordance with the law, and so will the president. The police will not be subordinate to the president and his government, and there will be a balance of power. And who will ensure that this balance is kept? The president may be tended to usurp power he doesn't have. Don't worry, my son. The overall power of the state will reside in the state council. It will be the responsibility of the council to protect the overall interests of the state and ensure that the power of the state is exercised evenly and appropriately by all organs of the state. And how will that benefit our people, Grandpa? It will be the foundation of good governance. The rampant abuse of power, often dictated by political party interests, will cease, and the nation will be a place where the law truly reigns supreme. Okay, but apart from improving the rule of law, what specific benefits will the nation gain from the improvements you have proposed? Corruption will be greatly reduced, my son. Corruption reduced? How, Grandpa? First, politicians will no longer have a field day to push their cronies into positions of authority. The president of the republic and his political party bigwigs will be denied the opportunity to flood state-owned enterprises with party men. It's great, Grandpa. Earlier, you mentioned how these party men go to great lengths to exploit their positions for their benefit and that of their parties. Exactly, the looting of state resources, which result from such political appointments, will be eliminated. Moreover, the state council will ensure that political parties do not subvert the national economy for their benefit. That should result in substantial savings to the economy, Grandpa. Exactly. The money will be available to improve the lives of our people. Okay, Grandpa, that was a good one. Are there any other benefits that will accrue to this nation? Professionalism will be enhanced in the institutions of the state. Professionalism? Yes, professionalism. State institutions like the police, immigration, armed forces, the central bank, parliament, and the judiciary all need to be professional in their work. Professionalism in many of these institutions have been undermined through many years of overbearing political party disposition. People work hard for the state with the hope of getting to the peak of their careers, but others are imposed on them through political appointments. thereby killing their zeal and stifling initiative. Grandpa, you've touched a raw nerve. A friend of mine had to resign his job as a result of one such political appointment. He was due to assume the top post of his organization. As someone by far his junior and a member of the political party then in power was imposed upon him, and he had to work in a subordinate position to that person. It was more than he could take. So there you are. That's the damage these political appointments can cause. If we eliminate these political appointments, actors in state institutions will work, fully assured that their progress will depend only on their performance and comparative competences. They will be assured that their career ambitions will not be dashed on the rocks of political appointments. That's very true. Our state institutions should be left alone to work professionally. But that's not all about professionalism. The police, for example, will be greatly empowered to deal firmly with politically motivated infringements of the law, no matter who commits them or under which government they are committed. That's a great point. Sometimes the police have appeared intimidated by powerful political influences and have not been very firm in dealing with political violence. It is not good for the country. So you see, removing this political interference will greatly enhance professionalism in state institutions. The benefits that this enhanced professionalism will bring to the national economy will be there for all to see. And I believe that state-owned enterprises will be the better for it. Yes, my son, greatly so. And the appointment of political party men as chief executive officers and board members will also stop Grandpa. Exactly. State-owned enterprises will be free to appoint their board members and chief executive officers through strict business procedures and principles. Can you imagine the benefits to these organizations, my son? Yes, Grandpa. The resources of those institutions will no longer be siphoned for political purposes. Not only that, our state-owned enterprises will be forced to draw plans to promote the growth of their businesses. The boards and chief executives will be compelled to operate their institutions efficiently. They will no longer be able to hide in the shadow of government to cover the inefficiencies and wastage in their systems. They will be put on their toes to perform or be exposed. That will be a double benefit. Wastage from siphoning and wastage from inefficiencies will be checked. The state-owned enterprises could be placed on a path to recovery and growth just by eliminating political interference. You are seeing the light now, my son, but I haven't finished yet. One great benefit that these changes will bring to our democracy will be the elimination of political impunity. Political impunity is one serious problem our democracy has had to contend with. It is so pervasive, Grandpa. I learned the other day that so-called party foot soldiers had invaded the offices of some district chief executives and locked them out for one reason or another. That is true, Grandpa. Sadly, this impunity is not limited to the lower political levels. A personal assistant to one of our presidents caused the dismissal of an immigration officer from his job merely on suspicion of political sabotage. In that particular case, even though a court of law had ordered reinstatement, I am not sure if the victim was ever recalled. I have also heard that some deputy minister caused the dismissal of certain police officers who were carrying out their legitimate duties. Grandpa, as for political impunity, it exists even in parliament. The majority side tends to use the phrase, "Say you say, that we shall have our way." That is to suggest that the views of the minority do not count. Exactly, Grandpa. But it doesn't end there. Considerable political impunity has been exhibited in the ranks of presidents, presidential candidates. Presidents have either insulted their audiences or declared openly that they won't listen to anyone. But you see, all this political impunity will be eliminated when we put political power at the level it belongs. When the President of the Republic is no longer the head of state, foot soldiers, personal assistants, and ministers of state will not dare to exhibit such impunity. The law will deal with them and put them in their proper places. Grandpa, this political impunity is very evident also in political party activism throughout the country. I think that political party activism in our current democratic experience represents a time bomb that threatens the very stability of the state. And how do you mean, my son?
Impact.
Look at the vehemence associated with political party campaigning, particularly the venom-filled political speeches, the insults and lies which are thrown at opponents. It is very frightening.
You are right, my son. Political party activism poses a serious threat to our national stability. Look at what happened at the Electoral Commission office the other day, when one political party, upon mere rumors of manipulation of electoral results, galvanized its propaganda machinery and caught its members and supporters to lay siege to the offices of the Electoral Commission in an attempt to secure a victory they considered to have won. That incident could easily have degenerated into something very tragic.
Grandpa, we can only thank God that the supporters of the other parties were kept away. It could easily have degenerated into a bloodbath.
And do you know why this belligerent and unrelenting political activism persists? It is because for most political party members, winning an election is considered a shortcut to prosperity, riches, and fame.
You are so right, Grandpa. At the risk of exaggerating, I would even venture to say that our political parties consider winning political power as a crusade or a jihad. Anyone seen in the way of victory is considered a serious threat, even an enemy, to be dealt with in any way possible.
Sadly, this mindset is not limited to the ordinary party members and supporters. Political party stalwarts have used very strong language in their campaigning towards winning political power.
Yes, Grandpa, it is frightening. Language such as, "There are many ways to kill a cat. We shall meet you boot for boot. This country will be turned into another Rwanda. We will make this country ungovernable. Greedy bastards, and all die be die," have been used on political party platforms. It feels like a battlefield.
And there doesn't appear to be an end to all that.
No, Grandpa. What happened during one election petition hearing at the Supreme Court is a case point. Political party activists openly dared the highest court of the land, speaking publicly that they would never respect its decisions. Indeed, one such activist went on radio to incite the supporters of his political party, urging them to disregard the judgment of the court if it went against his party.
That was the peak of political impunity.
It was, Grandpa, and he was not the only one. A general secretary of one political party called one of the judges a hypocrite and a joker, accusing him of pampering a lawyer for the president. Slowly but surely, this unbridled political party activism, with its attendant impunity, is driving this nation of ours towards anarchy and possible civil disturbance.
So, my son, I hope you see why we need changes to our governance system. All this political impunity is happening because in making the president the head of state, we have equated political power with the power of the state. That creates a strong impression among politicians and their followers that they have the power to do whatever they want and nobody can do anything about it.
You are right about that, Grandpa. Some political party activists project themselves above the power of the state. They see themselves as being above the law.
But you know, all this unbridled political activism will be curtailed when the changes we have talked about happen.
I sincerely hope so, Grandpa. We truly need to change things.
Yes, that will happen. You see, the intensity of political party activism is due in part to the numerous parliamentary candidates involved. Every political party wants to win as many seats in parliament as possible. The bulk of our electoral problems arise from there.
Yes, you are right. Every parliamentary candidate has their foot soldiers, spokespersons, and so on and so forth, spewing out their poison-laden, ill-mannered speeches on TV and radio. It is a muddy terrain.
But when we allow the district assemblies to elect members of parliament, much of this political activity will be curtailed, and with it, much of the threat to our stability.
You are right, Grandpa. The elections will then be held in the district assemblies, and those contesting will do so on their own merit, meaning that there will be no parliamentary candidates as we know them now.
Exactly, my son. The only activity involving political parties would be the presidential election. That would mean that the numerous parliamentary candidates who would have mounted campaigns on various radio and TV platforms to spew their venomous speeches will have no place under the new arrangement, Grandpa.
You are right, my son.
And Grandpa, I'm seeing another benefit from all this. The financial burden of political parties will be greatly reduced under your proposed arrangements.
You need to explain that, my son.
Since the main activity involving political parties will be the presidential election, that should reduce the unbridled spending often associated with the current political campaigning.
So, in answer to your question, the improvements to our democracy that I have proposed will free our politics of a lot of the animosity, hostility, and venomous speeches that threaten national peace and stability.
Grandpa, you've truly surprised me. When I was coming over this morning, I was very doubtful that the improvements you have proposed will make any difference to our democracy. But you have melted my doubts away completely.
You had doubts? Well, I'm glad that you are converted to these ideas.
But there are still more benefits we can talk about. Still more? Okay, Grandpa, I'm all ears.
There is the issue concerning the real size of our governments. I think our governments have been too large.
Say it again, Grandpa. At one point, a small country like ours had a whopping 88 ministers and deputy ministers. And interestingly, this number has since increased.
That number may not include all the personal or special assistants and presidential staffers or personal secretaries, etc.
That's true, Grandpa. I think the real size of our governments have never been known.
And you can be sure that all these various assistants are political party men, their positions doled out as rewards for their roles in their party's quest for political power.
But how else would they gain their positions, Grandpa? You are right. It's a case of jobs for the boys. But what is serious about all this is that these assistants receive fast salaries and can drive very expensive vehicles, all at the expense of the state.
All that will change when we make Parliament the sole body, the power to decide the number of ministries. Our presidents will no longer have the opportunity to inflate the size of their governments by tweaking the number of ministries as they wish. The size of our governments will be brought within reasonable limits.
That should translate into huge savings for the economy, Grandpa. How exciting it would be to see these changes happen in this country.
There are other benefits that will accrue to this nation, but let me mention them in passing. The development of the nation receives serious attention because politicians will not easily get away with the mismanagement of our resources. Our governments will be more accountable to the people. This will force our political parties to work hard to attract the best brains rather than the foulest mouths in their quest to win political power.
You are right, Grandpa. So very right.
Oh, there is yet one more, my son. I almost forgot. One benefit that these changes will bring to our democracy is that the country will see a steady march forward in its development. Our development effort will be less haphazard.
Grandpa, what do you mean by our development will be less haphazard?
My son, our politicians, when they are in power, always say, the economy has been stabilized and ready for a massive takeoff. Haven't you ever heard that statement?
Yes, several times.
And have we ever taken off?
No.
One government says they are ready for takeoff, but the government immediately after it says the economy is broke. That is haphazard development. We take one step forward and follow it up with three steps in reverse. That has been this country's development path, my son.
You are right on point, Grandpa. Many times, projects initiated by one government have been deliberately abandoned by the succeeding government purely out of political spite. That attitude takes us backward and causes serious losses to the economy.
That will no longer happen with the changes we are talking about. When there is a development blueprint that every government is obliged to implement, development projects initiated by one government will no longer be abandoned by the succeeding government for political reasons. The national interest will reign supreme and will ensure a steady march forward in our national development.
Grandpa, I think there is yet another benefit we haven't talked about.
Oh, okay. Tell me, my son.
When the State Council, through the NDPC, takes over the planning and monitoring of our economy, the door will be open for many people to contribute to the development of the nation. Explain yourself. How would that happen? There are many people who could make significant contributions to the development of this country, but who never get opportunity because they are not aligned with any political party. With the state in charge of the development of this country, such people will be free to come out and contribute their knowledge and skills to the national effort. The challenge this opportunity will generate could catapult this nation to great heights.
That's very true, my son. But I hope there are many of such people out there.
Grandpa, you have no idea about the depth of quality human resource out there in the diaspora. Many of our countrymen are in top positions in foreign countries and can make significant contributions to the growth of our economy. And there are many more here within this country who can contribute when given the opportunity.
So there you have it, Miss. We are not talking about change for its own sake. These proposed changes or improvements to our democracy will bring real benefits to this country, and the people will be the better for it.
You are so right, Grandpa.
Now, my son, I want to shift the discussion onto something else. This ends part one of Defensive Mode. Stay tuned for part two. Thanks for listening.